You are listening to the Sermon Podcast from the pulpit of Brookside Baptist Church. For more information, please visit us on the web at brooksidebaptist.org. Now, here's today's message.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. This is where our focus will be this morning. As we start Mother's Day, I've been going around greeting folks today, especially mothers, saying Happy Mother's Day. But you know, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but you know, someone can say something to you and without thinking, you say something back. So for instance, today I was talking to one of our ladies in our church and I said, "Hey, I want to wish you a Happy Mother's Day." And she looked at me and she goes, "You too." And she goes, No, I don't mean that. And she goes, "For your wife." I said, "Well, that reminds me of the time that I was with our family out in California. We were attending a English-Chinese church and kind of lost focus of where I was and what I was doing. And so as we were going out to shake hands with the pastor, I looked at him and I was shaking his hand. I said, "Hey, I'm so glad that you were able to be with us today." My guy said, "Dad, that's embarrassing." Let me just, by way, before we begin here in Ephesians, just share with you something that I received, a letter to encourage you as a church. Last week, we had a group of college-age young people here that were ministering to our teens from Northland International University. And we just received a letter from their president, Dr. Matt Olson. He wishes us well and letting us know his academic year for them is winding down. And he said, "Recently, our ministry returned to campus from their trip across the Midwest and the West. I had some time to spend with them, and I asked them a number of questions. One of the questions I asked was, what were some of the most healthy churches that you were in? I also asked, what church would you like to be a part of? And they all said, Brookside. There were a number of other churches they mentioned, but it was Brookside that they talked about. I was encouraged when I heard Brookside. God's hand of blessing has been upon Brookside from the very beginning, but that's never been more evident than over the past year as the church has gone through some challenging circumstances." And he ends with saying, "Northland appreciates the friendship and the opportunity to impact their young people when they come here to Brookside." And I say amen to that. Hope that's an encouragement to you, but I also know we're not a perfect church. If you're visiting with us today and it's your first time or you've just recently been with us, there are areas that God is working and shaping us in. And yet I trust that our church will be a church that is remembered and has an impact on people in this way. We love the Lord, we love His Word, and we love God's people. And hopefully, and it's our prayer as pastors, that our folks are demonstrating a love and a care and a compassion to one another, to the body. I always pray that God would not allow myself or any of us to grow apathetic in our walk with God or towards God's Word or the things of God. I won't say fearful, I'm concerned, and so I pray often that I know how Satan would love to attack our church. He would love to use the bullet of disunity, and unfortunately, he has been successful in many churches all across the world to try to destroy it from the inside. And Paul, who wrote many of the epistles to different churches in the New Testament, was usually challenging the churches to be of one mind, to be unified. Because that's so important for us to move forward in the mission that God has established for each one of us personally and also corporately for our body, to put the message of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on our lips and share it abroad. So I thought I would share that with you, and trust it'll be an encouragement and yet also a challenge for each of us. Mother's Day, a day that we honor moms. I don't know, it might have been 4 or 5 years ago, I was doing Mother's Day, and Pastor Brian remembered a phrase, and he was reminding me this past week, saying, "What is the title?" It's the title, "The Power of a Mother." And I think we would all agree, mothers are very powerful. Hopefully today, moms, it will be a special day for you, not one like you. I recently saw in a commercial where the mother stands as they're all seated around the table, and she says something along the lines of, "Well, I want to take this time to thank me for all I've done for being your mother. It seems like I'm the only one who knows how to fill up the dishwasher." I don't know if you've seen that, but hopefully it'll be a little bit better that you don't have to give credence and honor to yourself there. The rabbis, years ago, and maybe I hope that they said this tongue-in-cheek, but they said, they used to say that God can't be everywhere, so he made moms. Moms do seem to know everything, and they seem to be everywhere. Kids seem to say and do some things at times that are going to age their mothers. I was a prime example of that. I can think back of many times in my life. However, I just saw a note from a son to his mom. The son was attending camp, and the kids were asked to write a note home from camp. And here's what he said. "Dear Mom, our scoutmaster told us all to write to our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and worried. We are okay. Only one of our tents and two sleeping bags got washed away. Luckily, none of us drowned because we were all up on the mountain looking for Chad when it happened. Oh yes, please call Chad's mother and tell her he's okay. He can't ride home because of the cast. I got to ride in one of those search and rescue jeeps. It was pretty neat. We never would have found him in the dark if it hadn't been for the lightning." If you've ever done anything with kids in camp, Pastor Steve was down here laughing this morning, first service. I mean, this brings back some memories. Scoutmaster Webb got mad at Chad for going on a hike alone without telling anyone. Chad said he didn't tell him. He did tell him, but it was during the fire, so he probably didn't hear him. "Mom, did you know that if you put gas on a fire, the gas can will blow up? That still wouldn't allow the wet wood to burn either. But one of our tents did burn up, and some of our clothes. John's mom's going to be mad because he looks weird, and he's going to look weird until his hair grows back. Scoutmaster Webb is a neat guy, though. Don't worry, he's a good driver. In fact, he's teaching Terry how to drive. He only lets him drive on the mountain roads where there isn't any traffic. All we ever see, though, up here are logging trucks. Guess what? We have all passed our first aid merit badges. When Dave dove in the lake and cut his arm, we got to see how a tourniquet works. It made Wade and I throw up, but however, Scoutmaster Webb said it was probably just the food poisoning from the leftover chicken. He said they got sick that way with the food that he had to eat in prison. I'm so glad, Mom, he got out to be our scoutmaster because he's not a grumpy scoutmaster. He's fun. I have to go now. We're going into town to mail our letters and to buy bullets. Don't worry about anything. We are fine. Love, Cole." I can just see Kathy handing me that letter. Oh, get a letter like that, that'll cause any mom to age a little bit quicker. But today, the day we set aside to honor our moms, it was in 1908 that Miss Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia observed the first Mother's Day. She did it in memory of her own mother and believing that others should share her feelings and honor their mothers, she began sharing her feelings. She even began a nationwide campaign to try to get everybody to observe the day that we know as Mother's Day. Little by little, that idea grew, and finally the United States Congress set apart this day by a formal act, and the President encouraged its observance, and now Mother's Day is not just a nationwide, but a worldwide event. When Mother's Day was initiated in 1908, and even years before and after that, it was a day, really, when mother was an exalted person. I did some reading in some old tributes to mothers from years back, and just to find out what people were thinking and how they looked at women and the role of mother. And there was an interesting tribute that was written in 1928. It was delivered to a Mother's Day audience by Pastor W.L. Caldwell. And I'll just give you a little brief excerpt of what he said. Quote, "Well, may we pause to pay honor to her, for after Jesus Christ, God's best gift to men is a mother. It was she who shared her life with us when as yet our members were unformed, and into the valley of the shadow of death she walked that we might have the light of life. The scripture exalts motherhood. There are mothers like the mother of Jesus, Mary, Lois and Eunice, the mother and grandmother that Pastor Greg mentioned earlier of Timothy. There's Samuel's mother, Hannah, who so wanted to give a son back to God, and God did promise and bless her with her son, Samuel. When God introduced his written law in the form of the Ten Commandments, the first law relating to human relationship was honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. That's in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And that's the law that Paul reiterates here in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Follow along as I read. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It's the only commandment of the ten that relates to the family, because the principle alone, when it's obeyed, it's enough to secure the right relationship of parents and children. Not only that, but it's the key principle behind all human relationships in society. Regardless of what we hear today, God instituted a plan, three institutions that he was to ordain for the world today. The first being the family, the second being government, and the third being the church. The family is critical to the other two institutions. A person who grows up with a sense of respect for and obedience to his parents will have the foundation for respecting the authority of other leaders and the rights of other people in general. Regardless of what we hear today, we live in a world that's going to try to figure something out other than the Bible. We're told to be light in a dark world. I'm not shocked or surprised when I hear people talking about that marriage does not have to be so narrowly focused that it's just between a man and a woman. But that was God's plan. And we shouldn't be shocked with what we hear with people trying to alter the course of God's plan. And yet you look at government and the church today, all three institutions ordained by God are all in trouble. In fact, I wonder if this is the generation that we live in. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11 through 14. There's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There's a generation, they're pure in their own eyes, yet they're not washed from their own filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. We need to go back to the values that God has established in his word. And honoring my father and my mother, that's a commandment that God established. The Bible honors mothers. And as we look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 6 today, I have three small points for you. If you're taking notes, you want to follow along. The first is this. The principle, obedience is the right action. Submission to authority will bring freedom. You look at all the instances where God has asked us to submit ourselves, even to the point he says, submit yourselves to one another. But here he's telling children, you obey your parents. Submission to authority will bring freedom. Submission to authority begins with dads and moms. Dads and moms are God's stewards of this principle. Dads and moms are the first people that we meet. I'll never forget when we had our first son. That was a story in itself, how I got Kathy to the hospital and our son. And I remember when he was born, I was overwhelmed with joy But I was also overwhelmed with seeing all that she went through to give birth to this young boy. How could anyone ever talk back to their mother? It was shocking. Children are not going to learn to be submissive from any place other than home, really. Even though we pay people to go around our streets and make sure people submit. And we can watch that in the evening news, and it's actually kind of embarrassing. Because the people don't want to submit, and they make them submit. Children today are not going to learn submission from watching television. You name for me one program that shows, or TV show that shows a happy family unit. Not like the old days. You know, several of you could give me shows from the past that showed a family unit working together, but you don't see it today. Not a complete family unit. Submission to authority is God's plan. It's the key principle behind all right human relationships in society. So not only is submission going to grant freedom, that when I can learn to submit myself, I am free. I mean, you're here this morning because you've learned to submit to the laws and of our land, or you would not be free this morning. You would be locked up somewhere. Obedience to instruction assures right choices. He says, obey your parents and the Lord. This, for this is right. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. The word obey means to listen under. In other words, to be attentive. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Parents, we are to teach this. Obedience is the freedom to choose the right thing and then to do it. God ranks disobedience with the very worst and most vile of all sins. If you have your Bibles, look over with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32. And again, this is God saying, this is where I put disobedience. As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. And that sounds like the evening news right there. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but they also approve of those who practice them. This morning we're speaking of honoring moms, because a lot of times moms are the ones that have the majority of the contact, not always, but most of the time, with children from that baby stage until high school and possibly even into their college days. I remember my dad was pretty strong on, when your mom tells you something to do, boys, you better do it. And you better not backtalk her either. I don't know what it is about boys. I guess girls can fall into the same trap. They start backtalking their mom. My dad was a very strong disciplinarian, a military man. He would not put up with disobedience and backtalk. I mean, when I say my dad was a disciplinarian, he was a disciplinarian. And yet, as we've had four boys, to watch him kind of reach a point where they think, I can backtalk mom. I think I can get away with it. I mean, our boys are all out of the house right now, and I remember the time where they thought, and I could tell it as they looked at me, I think I can take you too, Dad. If we're honest, there's some teenagers, possibly young college kids. Most of our children are in children's church right now. But there could be some areas in your life you need to make right, because you have been disobedient in your response to your dad or your mom. I'm reminded of a young girl Danielle Martinez. I spent most of my life working with teenagers, and this one girl, there was something different about her. She didn't have a dad. Well, she had a dad, but her dad was never around. He was somewhere else. She said, "Pastor Ken, I just don't know. I look around our church and young people that I think have all the wonderful opportunities in the world. I mean, I look at their homes, their families, and I think, wow, how neat they have it." She said, "Pastor Ken, do you know what it's like?" She goes, "I love my mom dearly. I obey my mom. I want my mom to come to know Jesus." But she said, "Pastor Ken, do you know what it's like for me when I go home and my mom is an alcoholic and a prostitute, and I have to walk over men's bodies that are lying on the floor to get to my bedroom? And I get into my bedroom and I shut the door and I push a dresser drawer up against my door to try to keep me safe through the night." She says, "Do you have any idea what that's like?" And I watch our young people and they talk back. She said, "I don't ever want to be disrespectful or talk back or not be obedient to my mother." You know what? She was able to see her mother come to know the Lord before her mother passed off into eternity. She's happily married with 5 children of her own, and man, she's a good mom. And someone says, "Well, she didn't really have the..." Tell you what, she knew this much about God's word. "He has commanded me to obey and to honor my mom." I'll tell you, an obedient child brings happiness and tranquility to a family, and a disobedient child brings the opposite. My dad used to make us quote before we could eat Proverbs 10:1, the proverb of Solomon: "A wise son maketh a glad father, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." And here we are, we're talking about mothers and we're talking about the family unit, but you think of our Heavenly Father and what He has had with us as His children. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I wonder how many times in my own life I have hurt the Creator God of the universe because of my disobedience and my disrespect, my lack of honoring and praising and glorifying Him by the way I live. The obedient action must always be accompanied by the right attitude. I remember I was teaching school after I first got out of college, and I enjoyed these kids I had in class, but I had one girl that whenever I would say something to her, she would always roll her eyes at me. And I said, "Katie, I don't know if you do this at home or not, but Katie, I'm going to recommend that you do not do that anymore. I do not want to see you roll your eyes at me if I tell you to do something." I'll never forget her response. She went, "Okay." She closed her eyes, and I know exactly what was happening on the inside of those eyelids. Right action, wrong attitude. 5 ways. This is the second point. The precept, honor, is the right attitude. Let me quickly go through, if you're taking notes here, 5 ways that you can show honor to your mom, to your dad. The word honor here in verse 2, honor your father and mother, it means to take them seriously. The Hebrew word means to attach weight to something. Some of us, as we grow older, might disregard something our parents might say to us. So, one way I can show honor is I show respect. And can I say this? Respect for parents is of great importance to God. Exodus chapter 21, he talks about this. Either to physically or verbally abuse a parent was a capital offense in ancient Israel. There were, I believe I read the statistic right, 8 million attacks on parents in the last 3 to 4 years. Physically. Honor or respecting parents encompasses providing for them when they can no longer provide for themselves. Unfortunately, there's probably too many dads or moms in nursing homes or in veteran hospitals, and they're there and they're basically there alone because they've been forgotten. Let me tell you what Jesus says to the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. He made it crystal clear that honor parents includes financial support of them when they are in need. That was of primary importance, more important than even giving to God. And he lists that there for us in Matthew 15. And you know what? That was his plan, and he wants us to respect imperfect parents, imperfect authority in our lives. Man, I used to tell my boys all the time, hey, your dad, mom, we're not perfect. We have the utmost concern of what we want to see you do. I mean, you most likely work for an imperfect boss. If you watch enough ball games, you see imperfect officials out there. Refereeing. How do I deal with authority in my life that's not perfect? Well, there's no excuse for disrespect. I don't believe I've ever seen anything that upsets me more as I spent my life and time working with teens than seeing them be disrespectful to their parents. I mean, there's some times I look back, I remember seeing kids and looking at them and saying, you know, I have not that much respect for you watching how you talk to your mom or your dad. And I'm not talking about kids that are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm talking about those that are in their upper high school and college days. So showing respect. You know, when I was working for the at the church in Colorado, I was also a chaplain for the police department, and I would do these ride-alongs with the officers. And I'll never forget, the officer went to help this guy in need, and before long, the guy was not in need. He was creating a big problem for this officer, so they had to kind of hinge him up and put him in the back seat and restrain him. I'll never forget, we're driving him to the police station, and this guy leans up to the bars separating the first seat or the front seats from the back seat, and he looks at this police officer, and he responds with total disrespect. He goes, I'll tell you what, I don't care who you are, I can whip you. And then he looks over at me, and he goes, who are you? Police officer looked at him and goes, don't mess with him, that's my muscle. Okay. I loved his response to me. I can whip you too. And yet you see it over and over, the depravity of man and the lack of respect that's shown right where we live. Disrespect. You talk to some school teachers and see where we are with the level of respect today. And it used to be that used to be on the outside walls of the church. No longer. You know, as parents, we have to deal with our children when we see them be disrespectful. I remember how devastated I was when Kathy came to me and said, hey, Kyle just talked back to his Awana worker. I go, he did? Yeah, called her an idiot. I went, oh, guess what? Pastors get to deal with it with their own family too. No, this is unacceptable. Second way to show honor, express gratitude. Just being able to say thank you. I hope you, if your mother's still living, you've let her know today that you appreciate her and you thank her. The following is a list of IOUs which applies to mothers all over the country, all of which these are probably long overdue. And you can consider the priceless value of the one who made life possible for you, and that was your mother. And so as you walk through this museum of memories here, let me give you a few. I owe you for your time, Mom, day and night. I owe you for your example, Mom, consistent and dependable. I owe you for your counsel, Mom, wise and quiet. I owe you for your faith, Mom, solid and true. I owe you for your love, Mom, devoted and deep. Another way that I can show honor is to listen to their counsel. Proverbs 1, 8 through 9 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of thy mother. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. The chains that he's talking about here are not chains of oppression. It's like a gold chain, something that you would be proud of to wear around your neck. It's interesting. Moms and dads know more than we think they know. In fact, the older you get, the smarter your parents really seem to be. I can attest. There were times, even as an adult, son, I did not listen to my dad and mom. Kathy and I had just we were in Oklahoma, and my brother, bless his heart, found a dog for us, stray dog, and brought it to the house. And the next thing we know, that thing had pups. And we got rid of all the pups except two. And we didn't really want to get too attached with them, so we didn't give them names. So we called one boy dog and the other girl dog. And those dogs ended up getting mean. And my parents had come down from Colorado and seen those dogs. And they said, man, you get rid of those dogs for the boys start getting too big. Those dogs have gotten mean somehow. And I said, what are you talking about, Dad? I mean, the one just jumped the fence and chased a lady home the other day. I mean, how's that being mean? He goes, exactly. He said, do not. He goes, I am exhorting you as your father. Do not take those dogs to your next house. I go, Dad, relax. I'll take care of those dogs. We're going to get them to somebody, I know. Well, sure enough, we got over there. And one night, Kathy had a little task for me to take food over to a young couple. They had just had a new baby. And she said, take Kyle with you. He'll enjoy it. Problem was, it was about 7 degrees out. It was freezing. So I take all the food, get lost in the process, but get it there, come back. And this was the way it would work. Dogs are in the garage. Garage door comes up. Car comes in. Dogs go outside. As the car gets in, the dogs come back in. Garage door shuts. Everything. But I'm thinking, it's 7 degrees. I always would make sure I'm looking. I look, nobody walking on this cold night. The garage door goes up, car halfway in, dog's already out, and all of a sudden I hear this commotion, this barking. First service, I used a bad, I said the word vicious attack. My wife said, Ken, the dog bit the woman on the ankle. It wasn't a vicious in that we had to call the ambulance or anything, but there was a dog bite. And here I am, brand new in the neighborhood, and here we are in a mess. We take her to the hospital, and I remember I was so frustrated. I was really frustrated myself that I didn't listen to wise counsel. You know, so we get all that done. Kyle, bless his heart, he's still sitting in the car seat. And I come in the house, and I'm just pacing. She goes, did you ever get Kyle out of the car seat? And I go, no, he's still there. I'll get him. I go out, and I get him, and bless his heart, he hadn't had anything to do with it. And I set him down. I go, there, you stay there. And right when I said that, he threw up all over me. I said, wow, man, had I wished I would have listened to my dad. This has been one horrible evening. And the Lord protected us through that whole thing. But I look back at that. My dad always says, now I'm going to give you some counsel. Do you want to listen or not listen? Because the last time you didn't listen, I think you paid for it. Exactly. Living a godly life is another way you show honor. I was so touched by Naomi's testimony concerning her mom, asking her mom at her birthday or at Christmas, what type of gift can we get you? I'll tell you, all you can give me is that you'll walk with God, that you'll love God. There's no greater joy for parents than to know their children are walking in the truth, that they love God, they love His Word. You live honorably, you honor them. You live shamefully, you show them shame. And I always would tell teens this, remember the law, the principle of sowing and reaping, the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you can reap. You look at your own disobedience now, and guess what? One day you're going to have children, and you could be looking at the same type of disobedience. The final way of showing honor is by loving, being loving. I think when you can see love exhibited in a family, guys, you know, I hope even to this day, if your mother's still living, you'll let her know how much you love her and care for her. If you're with her, that you do the special functions for her. And then girls, again, and women, being careful, even as you grow older, as an adult daughter, that I don't get into all of the arguments with my mother, because I end up becoming disrespectful in my talk. Again, the right action of obedience has to be followed with the right attitude. And I think the biggest area of disrespect you see a lot of times, especially as we grow older with our parents or even with authority in itself, is in the way that we communicate and we talk. I mean, as a believer, the fruit of the Spirit needs to be evident in my life so that the Lord is magnified. He's the one lifted up. And when I do blow it, that I can actually pick up the phone or go see someone and say, hey, I was wrong. I spoke in a wrong way to you. D.L. Moody, who was a great evangelist, said this: I've lived over 60 years. I've learned one thing if I've learned nothing else. No man or woman who dishonors father or mother ever prospers. Which brings us to our final point, the promise. Long life. He talks about in verse 3 that if you do this commandment, the commandment which is with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Well with you relates to the quality of life. Might not mean you have everything, but there's a quality of life that you're able to experience as a result of your response to your mom and your dad. Live long on the earth relates to the quantity of life. The original promise in Exodus chapter 20 was to Israel, but Paul's reference here shows that it obviously extends to believers today. Can I just say this? A family where children and parents live in mutual love and submission will have a rich, God-given harmony and satisfaction together. Long life. By long life will be to the full measure which God intended. In all my years working with teens, there's possibly some teens who did not live a long life. And there were many I poured out my heart with saying, do not treat your parents in this way. No matter what your age, if your mother's still living and she's a believer, she's probably praying for you. Many a mother has prayed for her wayward son or daughter to come back to the Lord and to obey Him and to honor Him. I guess my question would be, as we close today, how, if your mother was still living or if she is living, how is or how would she be praying for you today? And mothers, how are you praying for your children? No matter where you are in life today, our Heavenly Father wants our life to be obedient to His commands. As He commands us to obey Him and to honor Him, to praise Him, to adore Him. I love looking at the psalmists and how they looked upon their Heavenly Father and wanted to give Him praise and that He would be satisfied with the way in which they live their life. May that be our prayer, that God would be pleased, and that when we see Him face to face, our Heavenly Father, we'll be able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information about the ministry of Brookside Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooksidebaptist.org. Thank you again for listening as we bring the Word of God to your life.